about this morning, Ezekiel? Or should I say who we're going to talk about? Huh? Say it where I can hear you, my boy. Thank you, sir. What about you? What are we going to talk about this morning? I said what? I didn't say who. He gave me who. You see, I don't know. She looks so perplexed at times. Okay, let's turn to... Yes, sir. What are we going to talk about? Huh?
Faith.
It's one of good subjects, isn't it? In obedience. It's another good subject. But we're going to talk about something else. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse number 10. Well, we started that last, no, we didn't start that last Sunday. We started chapter 3. We'll be there in a few minutes, I think. Okay, you got your hand up, go ahead.
Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things and that there be no
good. Keep going. Boy, that is excellent. Y'all think so? What you think, Jonathan? Give him a hand, y'all. That was great. That was some pretty nice big words, that boy, like an elephant. Much. All right. He's admonishing us there, bro. That's calling admonishment right there. He said, now, I plead you, obviously if he's saying that, something was going on in this community, right? And what is he pleading? What is his focal point? Is that they all say the same things. Huh? Well, look at it. Look at what it says. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all say the same things. Why is it important to say the same thing? Is it important for you to say the same thing when you're in your classroom that your teacher say?
Yes, sir.
Is that very important? Because if you don't say the same thing or if you don't write down when I was going to school, they told us in geometry, I'm not interested in you going up there to the board and putting an answer up there. I want to see how you got the answer. You know, I still don't know what pie is except when you eat it, you know. I used to know what it equaled to, but I don't know how to use it. I never did learn how to use that stuff. I was terrible in math and geometry and stuff. So I did like Brother David. I couldn't wait to get out of that class. And I come out of there because I wasn't prepared in algebra. Our algebra teacher knew nothing about algebra. Absolutely nothing. He was appointed. He was an agriculture teacher. We needed an algebra teacher. You the algebra teacher. So I was not prepared for geometry. Algebra 1, algebra 2. He didn't know nothing, and he did his best. But I got it in geometry, and I said, I'm out of here. Because it was a foreign language to me. That concept won't be in here. We're going to speak the same things. It's very important, because if there's a lot of division among, if I went to the jailhouse with Brother Terry Sunday night, and on our way there, we was talking, and he told me this and that, but he said, one man he took to the jail with him, and he was over there in the corner talking to somebody else while I'm up here talking, you see. And I told him from the beginning, I said, well, this is where I told y'all before about the brother with the short leg, and he got, well, he had a principle. One person talk, and the other people sit there and be speaking to themselves under their breath, binding up what's going on around them, you know. So that man will have a free course, and that's exactly what I did. Now, when I'm sitting there, I never said anything. You know why? Because I didn't want confusion on to come out of me on their part on what Brother Terry was saying, because I agree with everything what Brother Terry was saying. I may have saw things a little bit different, but I agree with everything he was saying. Then what I noticed was, I decided I was going to do my job. There was one young man, he was just pacing back and forth. And in my mind, I said, this man is disturbing us. He's disturbing us with his pacing, just pacing back and forth. So I began to pray. Lord, you need to do something with him. Now, all of a sudden, when I got through praying, good morning, Florence, you're tardy. We already found out. Well, and I began to pray, and I asked God to do something with him. And then all of a sudden, the television caught his attention. That's all I needed. Keep from distracting people, because some of those guys were really intently listening at what Brother Terry was saying. Well, I'm sitting there. You think thoughts are not going through my mind? Of course they are. But you know what I did? I shut my mouth, because it only needed to be one chief speaker. Only one. You don't. And so that's what I decided to do, because I don't want no division. Turn to chapter 3. Now, y'all heard this, I think, Sunday. See, when there's division, this is what's happening. This is what we got. We got babes in Christ then. We're not striving for babes. Y'all are babes in Christ, of course. You know that, right? You know that, right, Jonathan? Okay, so am I. I might be an adolescent by now, you know. Maybe a teenager, I don't know. Teenager. You didn't think I could be a 68-year-old teenager? In Christ. You don't understand it, and I ain't going to try to explain it to you. I'll let your teacher explain it to you later. It'll probably take her all day, though. Read verse number 1. Okay, sister, you ain't keeping up with me? Okay. 3:1. Okay, Abigail, this is a short one. I'm going to let Abigail do this one. And then you're going to do the next one. And then maybe you. Okay. Go ahead, Abigail. Abigail, pull your mask down where everybody can hear you. Good job, Abigail. Very good job. That's right. Now, he said, I want all of y'all to speak the same things, and I like to put it, same things in love, you know, because God is love, right? And so here we got a situation that Paul is addressing. Obviously, he's saying there's some division. So read, who did I say? You read the next verse. Because they're going to have to go in conjunction with one another.
I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still.
Boy, that's great. Good night. And now, the next verse. Yes, ma'am, you. Nope, not.
I said word. Justin said earlier.
Oh, that's great. I like the way you say that, short I, long A. I don't have a clue what you're talking about, but you know. I probably went through all of this 50 some years ago. Now, what was the problem in this church? What caused the problem? What was the first thing that he named up there in verse number 3 that caused there to be, wait a minute, let me say it. To cause them to not be saying the same things in love. Because I'm going to be honest with you, that is actually, from what I heard yesterday, going on right here in this church too right now to a certain degree. But thank God there ain't, well, I'll keep that to myself. I'm thanking God. And that can go on in any church. That went on in the church that I came out of. We all had difference of opinions. People were striving for positions and all of this and that. And, you know, and I told you, I was standing up there preaching, and the man told me, it's time to go. It's, you know, deacon said, no, it's time to go. He didn't say it like that. He gave me the sign, you know, it's time to go. Football game coming on. What was the first thing, though, that caused that? If that happens in here, that's exactly what will happen to it. We all be saying different things. What's the first thing, Isabella, that he says was going on there in that statement? No. He's telling them that's the state that they're in. What caused them where there are what? Envy. What is envy? It's akin to jealousy. I'm in a position here in the church. If I envied Brother David's position, I would begin to manipulate those who are able to be manipulated to get in power to get his position. You know, in government they do that. I hope y'all don't ever go into politics. I trust you never will. It's a dirty game. But I notice politicians, and politicians break the first rule of God all the time. They talk about authority. They put authority down. Even though they're authority, some authorities are a little bit higher than other authorities, and we should never. I was watching, Mississippi has a big argument now. Jackson, the Republican governor, and the Democratic mayor are at odds with one another. And now that the Senate, I think the Senate in Mississippi is probably more Republican than Democrat, and they're putting forth laws to try and take over the running of the municipality of Jackson. Well, in my mind, this is illegal because that's why you got a mayor. You know, but they are at odds with one another, they are talking about each other. I say, my God, this is pathetic. And this is our leaders, huh? And so if the leaders are setting this example, what are the what are the people going to do? If Brother David come, if Brother Terry come in here and was putting down Brother David all the time, you know, that would work division amongst us, wouldn't it? Do you think, children? Well, let's just use your classroom. Save for us, Sister Florence went in there and tried to take over the classroom. I use her, you know. I'm trying to get a crude example because I don't have a really good example. But envy is one of the worst things. Give me an example of give me the definition of envy.
So that my children can understand and want to do what someone else has.
Go ahead. A good example would be people envying people's cars that they have or their houses that they have, stuff like that. That's a lot of envy about
or
that.
Penmanship or stickers.
A what?
So penmanship with the children. You said you want something for they can relate to.
Okay, yeah.
Penmanship, toys, yeah. Stickers, reading ability.
Being called on.
Ah, yes, yes. That's a good. That's good.
Someone
getting more praises than the other.
Yes.
Yeah. And you begin to get upset with them. And then there's strife. Strife is like fighting and stuff like that. Give a good example of strife.
Bullying.
And you know, bullying.
Well, they're look at you in the wrong way, turn away from you, you know, from the other person. Children turn away from each other. If I look at Sister Florence, she look at me like that. Or either I look at her in such a way she doesn't want to look at me at all because I'm looking in a mean, hateful way.
Wait a minute, Justin. That's good. Yeah. And I like that example she gave about bullying. Because there's a lot of suicides going on amongst children because they're getting bullied in school. That told y'all about that young boy that killed himself. That what was happening with him because of something that his mother did. And he couldn't handle the meddling, the bullying, and the taunting. But now in the church, these things should not be. Because if this stuff is happening in the church, when you go out to preach, you're going to be in competition with one another. And that ain't what God wants. God wants us to speak the exact same things. Have one mouth, one mind in this church right here. We're going to be powerful if we can do it that way. But I guarantee you, when you go out, when one brother is talking, even on Sunday, thoughts will be going through your mind. I mean, that's our natural way. We are called to deny ourselves. That the very first thing that Christ said, if any man's going to come after me, he has to, and the word first is not in there, he has to deny himself. We add these words, you know, like, oh, that I might know him, because I'd be saying that too all the time, and then I have to catch myself, oh, that ain't in there, but oh, that I might know you, you know, because I said, if he said it, I can get away with it too. He's my leader. So, and then what's the next one? The very next one, what's the next one? That's not what I asked you. What's the next one?
Strife?
No, next one. The next one. Look up there.
Division?
Huh?
I don't know what you mean.
No, what's the next word? The next word. Strife and... Division. Okay. Now, give me an example of division. Go ahead. Wait a minute. I pointed at Andrew.
Division.
Die.
It's some type of math.
Boy, you're absolutely right. Now, I ain't going to lie to you. You're absolutely right. Okay, give me your definition of envy. That's crude. That would be more like strife, I think. Okay, now what was your example of division?
Well,
Okay, they got math on their minds, ain't they? Here it is, division. Paul and Silas, no, I'm sorry, Paul and, what was his name? Barnabas. In the Bible, remember Paul and Barnabas had an argument over a man named John Mark, right? And what happened? They had a divided mindset about him. One of them wanted to take him with them. That was Barnabas, his uncle or something. Y'all remember what related? It don't matter. It doesn't matter. And then the other one said no, because he didn't go with us into the work. He left us in the work. And, you know, a lot of us say we don't blame him because, you know, he wasn't steadfast in the faith. There was division there amongst them. And what happened? What happened in that division, that divided state? They went in their separate ways. They had different mindsets concerning this one situation. That's not what we want in here. We want oneness. Have y'all heard that expression? I know you two probably haven't heard it. But have you children heard the word oneness spoken by Brother David? Have any of you grown-ups heard it? Huh? Okay, you got testimony. Yes, ma'am. See?
Choir. And they hear it every time someone wants to sing louder than the others, or someone doesn't want to sing at all, or someone's moving their hands a different way and she wants them to put them the way
right.
They hear it often. I'm in there with her, and she's definitely talking about it every Thursday that we have choir, Brother Albert.
All right, y'all hear that?
Every Thursday.
Oneness. And you know what I noticed about Sister Thornton since she said it? She makes sure that y'all be doing exactly the same things, because she'll come up here and she does this. And y'all come to the edge of your chair, and then she does something else, and y'all jump up. And if you don't do it at the same time, what does she make you do?
Sit down.
And do it what?
Over.
Do it over. You repeat it, repeat it, repeat it until you get it right. Till you become one. That's what she's after. That's what we're after, children. We're after oneness. Okay? Oh, boy. Let me tell you something now. I was going to go into when he winked at stuff, but we're going to stop here because it's 8:27. We ain't going to run long today. All I want us to understand, children, is we going to learn in here to say the same things as the pastor is saying and the leaders are saying. That would promote power. A power that the enemy can't come against is one. Even God said the people are one. And if they're one like that, there's nothing that can be impossible with them. I'm paraphrasing. So what did he do? He had to come down and divide them. And he did it. But now he wants to divide us. He wants to make us one. He's striving to make his church have the same revelation and speak the same things. Because there's a lot of division out there. One church believes that I can eat meat. The other church believes that I ain't supposed to eat meat. That's division. It was right there in the book of Romans chapter 14. One person thought they could eat meat, and the other one thought they couldn't. Now, why they say the one that was weak, that didn't, I have no idea. Because it has nothing to do with physicality. It must have something to do with something else. I don't know. Because I watched a 70-year-old woman on video the other day, and she looked like she was 45. Because she's a vegetarian. And, I mean, from the neck down, skin just as tight. Now, I'm saying, she might have been had a little lifting there, I don't know. But I mean, she had no celluloid on her. I said, good night. 72. My problem with her was she was worldly.
Very.
Very, very worldly. Okay, let's give me some volunteers. Y'all can't say I'm not finished on time today now. I'm giving y'all 1 minute. 1 minute. I'm going to take it back Friday, though. Okay, oh, I'm sorry. Let's do our confession. Okay, we can. Okay, now.